Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Tasmanian Devin here, and we got a fireside chat for you today where we're going to get into the different niches of the subcontracting world. And as we say, you got to go out and find your why, but then the riches are in the niches in the art of construction. Credit where credit's due today, Mr. Tom Reber. He's been on many different podcasts with me and different things we've done over the years. Thanks for the referral, Mr. Tom Reber, to Luke Miller, who introduced us to the Tile Money Podcast. So we're on a big focus this year in 2021 of going out and finding these riches in the niches, other podcasts, and bringing them into the Art of Construction Tribe. And he has a great podcast that we're going to get into talking about tile money, the business of tiling. So what we're going to be talking about today, Tribe, is why building and joining communities of specific trades are so important, right? At the end of the day, the word is relationships, right? So you got to find those arts and those construction and put them all together. And boy, tile is one of those that everybody sees and everybody talks about, but there's a lot of stuff that can get covered up. And what we want to really benefit from this today is that we want to learn how to get paid on what you're worth. And I think that's a key thing, right? Because you can put a lot of different numbers to these different things, but tile money has observed many talented men and women on social media are taking their trade to levels that have never been before. The demand for beautiful tile is high and people should pay for it. I'm doing that right now. I got a great tile contractor locally that's putting awesome tile in my place. And you don't want me doing the tile. You want those guys doing the tile. So my perspective for this podcast is we want to explore how Luke has built this awesome community of tile contractors and how they help each other grow their business by determining prices, best practices, and et cetera. So the important theme to bring home is how everyone wants to help each other and has wisdom that they can share, and they just need a platform to do it. So when we talk about connecting the technologies and products to the right handshakes to grow your business, hopefully this is another great story. So let's go in and get to hear Luke's story and what led him to tile money. Lock and load, Tribe. What's your favorite beverage?
Iced tea, non-sweet.
Iced tea, non-sweet. If I have to go to one of those beverages, that'd be mine as well during the day. What's a favorite place you've traveled?
I'll probably go with, I had a blast in the Republic of Georgia, traveled that country for a solid 3 weeks with my wife and I think three or four other really close friends.
Awesome. Give us one story from that.
Oh man, just one. Well, you travel in the countryside of, the country of Georgia. Most of us, we're from California, and my brother-in-law is really into hiking. Most of us are, really into the outdoors. And he says, I have this great mountain I want to take you up hiking. And everybody's like, whoa, how many miles? How high is it? And he's like, oh, I'm not going to tell you anything. He's like, it doesn't matter. We'll get there. And we're packing our food up. I have about 20 pounds of food on my back. My brother-in-law has about 30 on his, because there's like I said, six or seven of us. And we're going up the steepest cutback I've ever been up in my life. An hour into it, everybody, like, I'm dying. The youngest kid and his wife, they were in their 20s, and they were, they just blew ahead of everybody, but the rest of us were in the back. He wouldn't tell us how high we went, but we went really steep, really high, and spent the whole day, but it was just gorgeous. And when we were up there, about halfway up, we saw, must have been these 80-year-old farmers or ranchers, I should say, and they were just walking up that hill like it was nothing. They practically lived up there with their cattle. Just amazing.
So if you would have known, you may have not done it, but when you got up there, you're like, suck it up, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's what he said. He's like, he knew better than to tell you how bad it was really going to be.
Yeah, living here in Colorado, it's kind of like the whole 14er thing. I commend people that go after it over and over again. We talk about the false summits plenty of times. So cool story. What's your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction silos we're always trying to break down here that we passionately call the art of construction?
I'd say fishing probably is, but I haven't done much of it. I've been focused on being a dad. I've got a 4-year-old. So the last 4 years has been, I've got my first child. So awesome. I'm loving that. I'm loving being a dad.
There you go. Cool. We got to know a little bit about Luke Miller. Tell us your story that led you to being the Tile Money guy here on the podcast journey.
Yeah, well, thanks, Devin. Thanks for having me. First of all, I forgot to say that, and I'm glad that Tom connected us. That's awesome. I've been listening to you and this podcast for several years. My background is construction, working with my hands. As a teenager, as soon as I was 13 or 14, my mom said, if you want to earn some money, because, it was all hand-me-downs, being a younger brother, youngest son, and if you want your own skateboard or your own shoes or whatever, you can go up to the day labor place. Right. So at 14, I signed up for the day labor and I started my own, yard maintenance route and other various, labor jobs. And from that day on, I've been working with my hands. At 17, I found a job working as a tile helper, as we called them back then. And, just helping, helping a tile installer and learning the ropes. And that's where I've stuck ever since. I became a tile contractor at 25, licensed in California tile contractor. And the business side always was the struggle. I knew how to build showers. I knew how to do the trade. You always have more to learn, especially with the way they make these tiles and the speed they come out with new stuff these days. But the business side, I was always interested in. So I would talk to other tradesmen, and it seemed like some of the contractors, they don't want to share their business secrets. So at some point after listening to podcasts like yours and Tom's, and I was searching for a tile business podcast specifically. And that's when I decided I just needed to do it myself. So that was 2008-ish.
What a cool story. So I always talk about, you got to go learn by doing and spend the 10,000 hours to master a trade. Especially in the art of construction, because it's how things get taught these days. And I love and honored to have you as a leader of the Art of Construction tribe when we come in, and now we say the riches are in the niches, where we can get experts that have went out and done it and say, at the end of the day, there's a lot of commonalities that Mr. Tom Reber and others talk about, the how do you be profitable and earn your keep within these trades. So the first question I have for you is, each subcontractor kind of has its nuances or different things about them. What's different about the tile contractors versus other trades from you going out and living that and now coaching other tile people through the Tile Money podcast?
Well, we fix everything. We fix everybody else's mistakes. No, seriously.
You mean the framing is not perfect every time?
right. we're a finished trade. So obviously, it has to be as close to perfect as it can be for a lot of clientele, for most clientele, right? And so we do end up, in all seriousness, patching up work and doing different things that isn't really in the tile, specific trade. So it's interesting, though. It's a great trade. It's a very old trade. You think about most old trade, like most trades today in the housing and building construction, they're not that old. We don't have a lot of really old trades. In fact, some have been eliminated, like, plasterers. It's virtually unheard of unless it's maybe on the real high end type stuff where you're really getting into high end plaster work, but it's not commonplace. So tile is one of those ancient trades. It's a really cool trade to be a part of. And when you look at it that way, it helps put a smile on your face when you're dealing with all that other stuff.
Yeah. And that's some good perspectives, right? To say it's a true artisan, right? You think back, like when I had different, Steve Burrows talked about how they made bricks the size of a hand to grab a brick or certain things. But then you talked about the evolution of product, right? And so how do you match that artisan craft with the speed and of how the market works today? And I see it every day on a job site, right? It's kind of like the tile contractor, their deadline, it just has to be done. But that's where you make it or break it of what you're covering up for those walls and tile to be perfectly perfect when it's all said and done. So how have you gotten the tile contractors to really be involved in your platform, and what are they really looking for that's different from other tile contractors or why they would go to your platform?
Sure. Yeah, that's a good question. You know, back in 2008, when I got my California C54 tile specialty license, I was on the internet a lot because it was the start of the recession. I had just moved to Monterey, where my wife was from. She had a solid job, so I moved to her. And I mean, who wouldn't want to move to Monterey? If you get a chance, you should take it. But so I was starting a new business. Things were slow. And I spent a lot of time on the internet. Back then, there was the John Bridge forums. It's a large DIY forum, probably the largest forum back in the day, back before Facebook, for tile contractors, or specifically tile contractors on that forum, to get together and talk about things. And really a tight-knit group of contractors and friends, and there's been lifelong friendships made from that internet forum. But one thing I noticed was, they, like I kind of alluded to earlier, they didn't really want to talk about business on that forum. So over the years, you know, you take what you can find and you dig around, you read books and stuff. But then when I found and heard about the Facebook groups back, you know, in 2016, 17, whatever it was, again, you know, I was excited to meet some of my old friends from John Bridge, and I recognized a lot of the names. But again, they weren't really talking about business. So what I did is, when I thought about launching Tile Money Podcast and then the accompanying Facebook group, I knew that if I was going to, you know, have an impact and kind of grow quickly, I had to make my message very clear and concise. And like you said earlier, the riches are in the niches, especially on the internet. And so that's why I chose the business of tiles. And so the folks in the Facebook group, which is over 6,000 strong, they're looking for answers on the business side of things, because there's a bunch of other groups that talk about installation, newest products, newest tile, you know, different things like that, technical stuff. But my group really focuses, we don't even really allow or encourage other conversation other than business. So that's how we moved forward so quickly with that. In just a couple of years' time, and that's what they're looking for. They're looking for business answers.
So if I'm hearing you right, it's the cliche that you need coaches to help you to work on the business versus in the business, is what I heard of the products and all these things that they're master craftsmen, right? And they're just always trying to get the job done instead of stepping out of there and saying, how is this profitable, or things like that. So what do you think are the most common things tile contractors, or I guess all sorts of other contractors, get stuck on, and how do communities like yours help them move forward?
I think some of the most common things they get stuck on, and sometimes it's for years, is they learn the trade, they learn what to do with their hands, but they neglect the business, you know, information. They neglect gathering that. So what they do is they end up running from job to job. And I've been there myself, you know, and that's why it was such a subject that interests me. And you end up just really spinning your wheels and always thinking the profit is going to be in the next job, when it never really is. Or you think, well, I can scale this, right? Now that I have a good reputation, I can add a couple employees on, and that's where the profit will be. But unless you figure out how to be profitable at one man, you're not going to be profitable at two, three, four. So that's one of the biggest problems I see.
You don't just spend your way out of it?
Well, depends on the year.
What does growing really mean, right? So,
right.
You know, how have you seen tile contractors scale their business, and how have platforms like yours helped them?
They're reporting, they're raising their prices like never before. And it sounds funny. There was even a real controversial post from one of my friends in the group a couple of years ago. He said, everybody should just go out and double your prices. And it really stirred quite the controversy. And at the end of the day, I told my wife, look, the reality is most of these contractors should double their prices. It's not, I know it sounds arbitrary and like, oh, you know, but the reality is that's about where they're at for most contractors. I know when I doubled my prices, I finally started to show a little bit of profit, and I still had to raise them from there. And a lot of my listeners of the podcast and in the group have said, look, we're doing the work, we're raising our prices, we're figuring it out, and life is so much better. So all of a sudden they're going to work with a smile on their face. They're not working 7 days a week. And that's a win. I mean, if you're, you know, you shouldn't have to work 7 days a week. Now I know, I understand a lot of people are choosing to, because, you know, it's a type of the time of the year, or, you know, these last few years when you go out there and you grab it. And if you can, you do, for some folks, and that's fine. I understand choosing to do that, but you shouldn't have to, especially in these really good years. You could work 4 days a week if you really wanted to, with the demand of, the demand on the market.
So you've mentioned it a couple of times. Your kind of passions lie in the Tile Money podcast and your Facebook group that you lead, right? So Tell us about this community that you've built through Facebook, and what kind of conversations do you have? You mentioned kind of someone said, just double your prices. And I think that's more the kind of the shock and awe to say, what truly should be the price? And I think it boils down to helping us say, are you chucking the truck, or are you going to do it the right way and get real value? So what's your take on this Facebook group and your community?
Yeah, there's some deeper conversations happening there, for sure. People are asking about insurance. We have conversations about workers' comp. As you might know, a lot of contractors, and in fact, from 17 to 22, I was paid with a 1099 and didn't even know it. I thought, and everybody I knew was the same, and didn't know that was essentially illegal, you know, because I was an unclassified or a misclassified employee. And so you have people coming up like that, and it doesn't really matter their age. It just matters kind of where they're at in their business. And they're realizing, like, okay, I need to change some things. So all of a sudden they're making huge shifts in their business to where now they're, instead of 1099-ing their 1099 their employees, they're actually going ahead and putting them on payroll and doing it the legitimate way. And we're helping them do that, you know, as a group. And it wouldn't work. I mean, the group takes care of the group, and everybody's been so helpful in there. We have some of the most successful longtime tile contractors, big names in there, helping some of the, you know, the guys who just came in there yesterday and nobody really knows them. And it's a really, it's a really positive place. So I'm really proud of what it is.
That's super cool. And a great example of that, to say you don't know what you don't know, and you can be jaded by what you think you know, to say, to sidestep everything, to just say, just do 1099, and it's all legal till you get caught, and you can get in trouble on both sides doing it that way, right? So I commend you for what I would say is one of my big core values at the end of the day, is always do the right thing, right? And working together to do the right thing. So I want to reflect one more time on pricing. So why is it so often that contractors do not get paid what they're worth? And if this is such a big problem, then why is this common stereotype that you hear about contractors are overcharging, not undercharging?
Well, if I had to answer to that question, right?
I mean, but that's, I just want to hit that one more time for you and I to just point it out there, right? It's kind of like, it's obvious, but it's not obvious. And at the end of the day, it's you get paid what you're worth. And I think that's what I'm hearing, that you're really trying to help say, you're a craftsman, if you do it the right way, this is what you should charge, if I'm hearing you right.
You know, I think there's so many contractors out there, especially in the tile trade lends itself to artists, people who want to control the job. We're control freaks. You know, most of us are very, almost perfectionist type personalities, and we don't want to expand. We don't want to grow a business per se, even when you're coming up in the trade. And then you start to realize, like, oh, well, I want to do things a little different. Maybe you do things a little better than your mentor did, or maybe you just want to do things a little different, or add your own flair, or specialize in a certain type of tile. And so you go into that, and once you get around doing around 100K, 70 to 120K a year, sale, you start to feel really good about yourself. You're taking home, you know, most of that money. If you're by yourself, maybe you have a helper, you're taking home a pretty good portion. And Uncle Sam, you know, typically says, well, you don't really owe anything because after your write-offs and everything. And so sometimes if you have a family, you're getting a little bit of kickback and so you feel good. You're living, you might even be, you know, living pretty good. You got a newer truck, a nice place. But there's really, I think the problem becomes you're in that comfort zone where you're not, there's really no, if you get hurt, there's, you got nothing. You got maybe a few months of savings. If you want to expand, you don't know how to go about that. And so you continue with your same pricing if you are going to expand. And then you realize like, where'd all my money go? And then that's why I hear and see so many guys say, well, I used to have five guys. I make more money alone. Well, the reality is they just didn't figure it out. They didn't put the time in to own that business and really be a business owner. And they were still trying to be that that installer in the field and run five guys on top of it. So I think that's where the pricing really gets messed up is contractors just aren't sitting down to figure out like, okay, if I was selling hot dogs, if I was selling, you know, trinkets on the street, I got to have my profit. I got to pay my overhead. Instead, they're thinking, well, I'm doing 100K. And they always say what they're, you ask them, what'd you make last year? They'll tell you 100K. They don't tell you that that's, you know, that's what they sold. That's not profit. So there's a lot of confusion in what the actual sale is, what they're actually making. And I think that's part of the problem is we're doing it to ourselves, you know? And then you mentioned about homeowners, you know, kind of conceiving that contractors are expensive, right? That's another problem. We've got to learn to sell our value. We've got to learn to express that they're putting this into their homes and proving their lives. And they don't want to, you know, it's a huge inconvenience to tear up your kitchen or bathroom for 2-3 weeks. So you don't want to be doing this again or in 5 years. I mean, you want this thing to last and you want it done right. So we've got to sell the value of your skill. And really, if you start having that conversation of what do the homeowners want, then the pricing becomes secondary.
So well said. One thing that might be beneficial for the Tile Money Tribe is we went on this deep dive podcast series with Cultivate Advisors titled The 5 Stages of the Entrepreneurial Journey. And it's finding those times to go out and experiment, but then also systemize to say when you get to 5 people, now you're starting to talk about organizational charts and now you become more in the people business than being out as the solopreneur, being the craftsman, right? And that's where you take all these different, if you're a lifelong learner, I think that's where these platforms are so great to be able to zoom in with other people that are other tradesmen, but also zoom out in the art of construction. And that's really one of my big goals for this podcast is to be this resource to zoom in and zoom out, right? So what's next for Tile Money and the tile trade as a whole from your perspective? And where do you fit into larger trends in the art of construction?
Mm-hmm. Well, what I'd really, my vision for Tile Money has remained the same pretty much throughout the last couple of years. And that is to become the number one business resource for tile contractors as they're setting up their business, as they're becoming a contractor. I want to be the place where they associate business with their trade and be able to offer them various resources, coaching, you know, videos, podcasts. We're doing that's probably our strong point right now with over 130 podcasts, something like that. As a whole, the trade is really, they're coming out with a lot of like really large format tiles. I'm talking like 5 feet by 10 feet porcelain tiles. Now they're making it's really thin, like very thin, like 6 mil thin. And it gets thicker. And now they're making even thicker stuff that will probably, it looks like replace countertops, marble, granite countertops, within a few years here. So what's happening is that's expanding so quickly, at least here in the United States, really worldwide, but here in the United States, I have a better idea of what's happening is it's expanding really quickly. In other words, they're making it, they're selling it, the consumers want it, but there's not enough installers who are learning how to install this super format tile, gauged porcelain tile panels is what we're calling them. And we just cannot teach guys quick enough how to work with this. Some people don't even want to work with it because it is you know quite a feat to get your hands on this, and you got to get tooled up, and there's an investment there. And then it's this stuff's pretty fragile at times. It'll break on you if you look at it wrong, and it's kind of a one shot deal. And there's all kinds of neat, you know, of course, features to it. So we're just, you know, together with the NTCA, I should mention the National Tile Contractors Association, who's been a partner of mine. They've been a sponsor since nearly the beginning of the podcast. And they're doing a lot of this training all over the United States. They really, you know, of course, got slowed down here in the last year, but they're picking back up again. In fact, this Saturday, I'm headed up to the other side of the state. I'm down in Florida right now. And we're going to Vero Beach, where we're going to do some, I'm just going to be a spectator, but we're doing some training and certification down there. So I think, where do I fit in, you know, or where does the Tile Money Movement fit in? I think it seems like we're on social media. We're on this really positive. I see positive stuff happening on social media with the podcast, with the groups, everything. It feels to me like the younger people are getting back into trades. And I know there's a lot of information that would say no, but it just feels like they're excited to be working with their hands. There's a lot of, you know, really young people doing some really cool stuff. I've been following this one guy on Instagram, and he's a framer and a roofer, and he's probably my age, but he looks a lot younger. But I watched him grow his Instagram account for the last 4 or 5 years. And he's got, you know, I don't know, 50, 60, 100,000 followers or something, but he's been really going hard. And just this year, or late last year, within the last 6 months for sure, he started a nonprofit to teach, to help the youth, you know, high school kids and stuff like that, get into a trade. And so I feel like the trend is we're pulling up our boots, we're rolling up our sleeves, and we're doing what needs to be done. What needs to be done is more youth needs to be taught these trades. It needs to be exciting, you know, it needs to be sexy, as one person coined, let's bring sexy back in the tile trade, one of my friends. And, you know, I feel like it's happening. We just need to keep the snowball moving.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I own a window and door company in Colorado, and I think there's a lot of similarities there to where there's so many moving parts, and you can point the finger on windows and doors or tile at so many different reasons why it worked or didn't work. And so you can look at the glasses half full and point the finger, or you can be part of these movements that we're creating to say how the only constant is change, because you got to get over the F word, which is fear. And the fear of a 5x10, when I hear that, I'm like, all I see is it cracking when you put it in. And now who's pointing the finger at who? Because you didn't use the right mortar or the right this or the right subfloor, and all these things that boils down to training to say who really wants to work enough on the business and in the business to get it done right the first time. If I'm hearing you right, what you're talking about, these changes, because you think about the tile trade, just the shower in itself, the amount of membranes and, you know, all the things that could go into that, of, and companies like a Schluter or whatever that have taken that educational approach that have changed the game to actually thinking about the installer in mind, not just the pretty picture at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So as we close this out on all these podcasts where we're aligning all the different leaders of the tribe, like Luke and the Tile Money, we've been asking this question as we're really trying to leapfrog and break down these silos to move forward. What is your crystal ball for connecting technology to the handshakes for the future of construction?
Man, that's a tough one. You know, I haven't quite figured it out yet, because I've been, you know, I know some folks, and I had the idea to start a podcast that would appeal more to the consumers. Are you, now with this question, are you talking about like handshakes with the consumer to the contractor, or?
Yeah, I've kept it very broad and specifically because everybody answers it so differently. What does technology mean to them? And that's kind of what this is intended to be, of just to say, if you had a crystal ball to say, you know, whatever future it is, what would you say would be helping using technology to connect those handshakes? Because the world of venture capitalists and technology has gotten kind of spiraled to say, I mean, every day on social media, somehow I see algorithms of this special tool to for spacers or this
right.
when it comes to a million things to work faster. But at the end of the day, what true lasers this or technology that is really going to help the handshakes for the future of construction from your perspective?
Yeah.
I've asked the same question over and over and over again because I love to have authentic stories but have rigid consistency.
Yeah, I honestly, you know, I would like to talk about the technology to kind of reach the consumers. And so like with podcasts, I don't think it's there yet because I don't know a lot of consumers that want to, you know, or would think like, oh, let's flip on a, you know, they're going to go to YouTube. So I think if you can do a YouTube thing or even a shorter Instagram or TikTok type video where you're reaching and you're kind of expressing, try to express there, you know, the value of what you do out there and try to, you know, within 30, 60 seconds that consumer should click in their brain. Oh, these guys, look at what, you know, it's valuable. And yeah, I want to call them. And that's going to, in my mind, lead to a handshake, a business deal, right? They're going to hire you. Or, you know, maybe they saw you and you're in England, like, you know, Hud's Tile, but they're over in the coast of California. Well, at least they're kind of checking his videos out and they like his personality and they're starting to see different tile trends. And he talks a lot. One of the things I like Hud's Tile, Ken, he's got over 100,000 followers, 150 probably by now on Instagram. And he talks a lot. He has a great time. He's always got a laugh and a smile. And he talks a lot about the failures that he sees that he's fixing out there. He gets called to replace a shower or whatever. And he shows it and he talks about, you know, hiring the right contractor. And I think contractors should be using their social media in that way, not to badmouth people, but just to say like, look, this is what's happening. And this is what we're doing. And then we don't know everything, but we partner with these industry partners and they help us along and really express your value. And I think that's the way to create those handshakes with the consumers, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, I love it. Giving you a get, but do it through education and be able to move fast, right?
Mm-hmm.
To get their attention.
Mm-hmm.
So to close this out, the one thing we always ask to leave us hankering for more and to go check out the Tile Money podcast when we want to figure out the riches and the niches when it comes to tile, what is that one thing you want to leave contractors and affiliates to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
Yeah, just stay positive, wake up early and be positive. Know that, you know, good things are coming if you put in the work.
I love it. Luke, we're honored to be affiliated with what you got going over there and look forward to connecting more and bringing the Tile Money along with the Art of Construction. The only constant is change, and we're honored to have you as part of the team, Luke.
Thank you, Devin. It's been an honor. Appreciate it.
I love it when we get to zoom in and talk about the riches and the niches today, Tribe. So make sure if you want to get more involved in the tile, make sure you check out Luke's platform and put all the links in the show notes to check that out. And I love where he talked about how he went out and worked in the business, but now he's back giving back and coaching in the business. And those authentic groups, my call to action wherever you're at, find some resource, not just a local group, but also social media has now opened up the world where you can go out there and you can get non-competing perspectives that are similar. And that is so powerful. And what he's done with his Facebook group and my marketing team is like, he's really authentic. And that's when I said his one thing he's talking about, go out there and don't fake it till you make it, but go work your ass off. And like you said, get up early to go make it happen and work on your business and in your business to free your up and earn your keep. As Tom Reber, motor hard, man. And he's telling us to push hard and get what you deserve in this business. Another great podcast in the arsenal of podcasts out there to check out. Tile Money, crush it out there, Tribe.